Chapter 1, Guatemala, May 12, 1983. The young Mayan woman fled from her adobe house to take refuge in a neighbor's barn. Her worn sandals flip-flopped as she ran frantically and awkwardly across the muddy grass of the small village, the small bundle on her back shrouded in a nest of colorful blankets. Glancing over her shoulder, she hastily unhitched the wooden latch, opened the door, and scanned the dilapidated barn for a hiding place. Sliding herself between a feeding trough and the barn wall, she covered herself with straw, nearly hyperventilating in muffled silence. The only sounds now were the synchronous rhythms of her wheezing lungs and the pounding pulse inside her head, disrupted by the sporadic rat-a-tat-tat of machine gun bursts. Sweat poured down her head, chest, and back. Her sanctuary smelled of animal dung, old hay, and the dusty pine boards of the barn's old walls. Governments at peace with their people are much alike, but genocidal governments are each maleficent in their own way. The human depravity that characterized the massacres of the Quiché, one of the 23 indigenous groups in Guatemala, in the genocide of the 1980s, was no more or no less ruthless than Pol Pot's killing fields in Cambodia. But these massacres lacked the twisted creativity of Hitler's death camps. In Guatemala, soldiers with guns unloaded from pickups into indigenous villages and shot everyone. After hearing of massacres in neighboring areas, they had confronted Father Diaz, the local priest, asking him how God could allow such things. The priest explained that God's spirit spoke to the conscience of all people to dissuade them from wrong, but if one disobeyed the voice long enough, it would slowly recede until he no longer could distinguish goodness from evil, until his conscience was defiled and he was no longer able to experience shame. It was only in this way that the young woman could begin to understand what was transpiring in her village. She peeked through the crack in the wall of the barn. Could she be seen? She saw a group of young women being forced into a line by the troops. Two nervous-looking recruits with sunglasses and automatic weapons stood in front of the women. The soldiers were also young, maybe even still teenagers, and she understood that they had been given a heavy responsibility. They had been given the responsibility of no longer experiencing shame. The women were shaking, crying, one clutching the arm of her friend Mildred, who was trying to plead with the recruits in Spanish.